If you have a need, if you need God to do anything, if you need money, if you need health, if you need relationships, if you need peace, if you need joy, if you need fill in the blank, God wants to do it today. God's here to do it today. It's up to you. Are you going to be open to what He's going to do? And I say, I'm open, God. Whatever you want to do in my heart, whatever you want to do in my mind, I welcome it. So as we move into worship, why don't we just lift up our hands and let's invite the presence of the Lord. He's already here, but let's open up our heart and ask Him to do something. God, open up all of the heavens right now. God, pour out a blessing upon us. God, we're hungry, Jesus. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open to what You're going to do today. And we thank You, Lord, that You're going to be here. Do something in my life. Do something in my heart. Do something in my spirit. Come on, why don't we thank Him for what He's going to do today? God, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We give You glory, God. We give You glory.
Open up the heavens, we want to see.
Transition into prayer right now. And I know we've done it a couple of different ways and we're trying new things. So if you have a need, why don't you just lift up your hand? If you need God to do something in your life, in your family's life, there's needs all over this place. I feel like God's already moving in this atmosphere. If you need something, if you need God to do something in your life, I'm going to open up the altar and invite you to come and step out in faith. Believe that God hears. Believe that God knows. Our ministry team is going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We believe that God answers prayers. So if you have a need, they're going to sing again. We're going to continue worshiping. But whatever need, come forth boldly before the throne right now. Bring in your needs. And God is going to hear them. And God is going to answer them. God, I pray right now. Touch these needs. God, there's many unspoken requests. There's many sicknesses. God, there's healing. There's families that need salvation. God, I pray for lost children. I pray for lost husbands, lost wives. God, I pray in these families, Lord, that the Spirit would break out in their life. God, let us be bold before the throne, God, casting our cares upon you. God, you hear the needs that are represented. God, you're moving in this place. You're moving in this place. God, you're working right now. That's it. Come on. Call upon him. God hears your prayers. God is in this place. God, there's breaking that's going on. There's a shaking. There's a moving in the Holy Ghost that's going on. That's it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God is in this place today. God is here. He's here to visit us. He's here to be with us. Whatever need you have, there's no reason you should leave here without an answered prayer. There's no reason. There's no hindrance. I believe God has taken the lid off. And so whatever you need today, God is here. Amen. Why don't we thank him for that? Let's thank him. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. If you're still praying, continue to pray. But as you make your way back to your seats, and again, no rush, we're open to the presence of God here. But I do want to invite the ushers to come forward. We have a few announcements for the week. There will be corporate prayer tonight at the church at 6 p.m. If you are available, if you are able, we would love to have you. Even if it's just for a few minutes that you're able, you're welcome here. The presence of God will be here tonight. You can believe that. This coming Wednesday night, worship in the Word at 7 p.m. Make plans to be here. And next Sunday, October 13th, say, taking it to the streets. It'll be at 4 o'clock. Please plan to, if you're able to, again, we'd love to have everybody participate. Bring a change of clothes. We are going to have lunch here immediately following the service. So I believe, are we taking care of all that? Are we asking to bring any sides? Do we need to bring any sides? I know you're... We got all the food. So all you have to do is come to church. You worship really hard. You pray really hard. I guarantee you'll be hungry afterwards. You change your clothes. You eat something. Help us get set up. And then help stay in support at 4 o'clock for a great thing this Sunday. Make plans to be there. Invite somebody. Tell your neighbor. It's not a church service. It's casual. It's laid back. Anybody can come to this. We're inviting anybody. So make a point of effort this week to invite somebody to that this Sunday. Brother Gary, if you'd like to pray over today's tithe and offering.
Jesus, I'm hungry for you.
We just got to get to a place where we're desperate. Where all we want, nothing can satisfy, nothing can ease our burden, nothing can fill any hole in our life like Jesus can. Jesus is the only thing that can satisfy our soul. Amen. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Today is Bread Sunday, which I'm learning about. Actually, Brother Greg, I've heard you're very capable of handling Bread Sunday. But today is Bread Sunday. If you have participated in the bread program or in any yearly reading, please stand. We want to make sure we feed you. You've been fed by the Word. Now be fed by Brother Greg. But it's encouraging. I mean, it's encouraging to be in the Word. It's encouraging to have a church be in the Word. And this isn't done to make anybody feel bad if they missed it or they haven't been, life has popped up. But this is an opportunity to recommit. And even if you can only spend a few minutes, even if you can only get to one chapter is better than no chapters. And if you can get to one, then the next day get to two, and next day get to six, and then you're reading the whole book of Psalms in one day, 150 chapters, and you know, whatever that looks like for you. But we want to be a church that reads God's Word. It's why He gave it to us. It wasn't just something that would look good sitting on a coffee table. It's something that God wants us to get into. So, and before we move forward, I do want to invite Sister Christy. She's done something special, and we talked about it on Wednesday night, but we want to announce it on a Sunday just so we have an understanding as to what's going on and what we're trying to do as a church. So, Sister Christy, would you come?
Okay, what this is, I had gone down to Bethalto to visit a friend down there, and their church has been doing this for about a year, and it's a prayer jar, and it's for our family members, and they've been doing it for about a year, and what my friend told me is that in the last number of weeks they've been seeing a backslider come back to the church almost weekly, and so they have separate prayer for the family members, for the people mentioned in this jar. I made up cards that have just a place to write their name, and then you can tie it shut if you like to keep it private, and then just drop it in the jar. And I was using this scripture reference. It's he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Okay, so that's what it's about. Just fill out a card, drop it in the jar, and we'll have separate prayer for our backsliders each week. Oops.
And so there's a few names already in here, and not asking anyone to say names or anything, but with the lifting of hands, how many would have somebody that immediately comes to mind when Sister Christy mentions? I mean, the entire church. We all have people that are family, that are close to us, that are not where they're supposed to be. So we're going to, after service or before service at some other time, whenever's convenient for you, take a second, just write that name down. And like Sister Christy said, we're going to lift up these names in prayer. So as we move into the service or into the sermon, why don't we all stand? And we're going to do that right now. We all just lifted our hands. We all have someone in our mind. Let's call them out to the Lord. Your neighbor doesn't need to know. Your spouse doesn't. I mean, just lift up these names before God, trusting that He knows who we're praying for and that He's got a plan for them. God, we know that You are on the throne. We know that You see each and every one of Your children. God, Your hand is reaching to them right now. I pray that there'd be a drawing into their heart. There'd be a softening in their spirit, God. Give these loved ones, God, a word, a burden to come back. God, help us to reach them. Help us to persevere, God, to be consistent, to be faithful, Lord. Let our faithfulness show through to them. God, let them see that we're still plugging along, we're still fighting, God, and that there's a church that still loves them. There's a God that still forgives. There's grace for them, God. Let them see mercy. Let them see grace. Let them see love, God. Let us be a church that loves them and welcomes them with open arms when they come back. We're believing for a harvest of lost loved ones. We're believing for souls to come back, God. We're believing for a revival in our children, God, to come back to you. We need to see our families saved. You're the only person that can do it, God. We can't do it. We are not able to, God, but you can reach into their hearts and reach into their minds. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Sister Christy, and even thinking about it and hearing you talk about it, I don't know what significance names written on a piece of paper put into a jar. There's no scripture where it says write names, put it on a jar. You don't have to do this. But what we're doing is a symbol of we believe that we are putting these names before God. We're placing it in the altar. We're lifting them up in prayer. And while it may not matter that you take an ink pen, you put it to paper and write a name, but it matters that when we pray together, that when we combine together, when we get in unity and one accord, God has to show up. When we're in unity, God always shows up. So I believe that God is going to show up in our family's lives. Amen. 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 If you could remain standing, I want to get into the word today. I believe God has already done many things, and I don't want to hinder that. I don't want to be in the way of that. So I will do my best to get out of the way, and we're going to have a move of the Holy Ghost, and God's going to touch us. I believe it in Jesus' name. So I want to turn our attention to 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. The first few verses will be familiar because we read them last week. And if you remember last week, there is a tie-in to this week. But it's 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. We'll read past where we read last week. But it said, "And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts." Looking at verse 18, it says, "This is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord." It's a light thing in the sight of the Lord. "And he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning that when the meat was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the children was, or in the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. They said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites even in their own country. They beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man a stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees, and only in Kirhasheth left they the stones thereof. Howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it." I want to speak to us for just a few moments. With God, it's a light thing. With God, it's a light thing. Why don't we bow our heads and let's pray that God finishes the work that he started in this place today. God, we felt you all day. We feel you even right now. God, you've been in every facet and every part of this service. I pray that your word would go forth. God, not my word. God, let it be your word. Let it fall on good soil. Let our hearts be open to hearing your word. And I pray, God, that you would pour out your spirit. You would touch us, God, as we finish this service. We will open up our hearts and our minds to you. Do whatever you see fit to do in this place. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, the church said amen. You may be seated. As I said before, We kind of got into this last week, and I want to finish it up today. But, you know, when you're a child, you're amazed at what things adults can do. Your brain just cannot process what things your dad is able to do. You think your dad is the strongest man alive. You've never seen anyone stronger. I talked about it on Wednesday night. And I have three young nieces. The oldest is 11. It's 11, 8, and 4. And they truly believe. The 11-year-old, she's going out of it. But the other two definitely believe I am the most talented magician the world has ever seen. I will tell you the trick to being a talented magician. They probably would believe that too. But the trick to being the most talented magician to children is to just have two of whatever you're making disappear. Watch this. I can do a magic trick. I'm going to put this bottle in my pocket. This is a very intense magic trick. And to a child, the bottle's clearly in my pocket. And then I wave my hands, I do this, and then all of a sudden, oh, incredible. Yeah, yeah. And to you, it's not much. To me, it's really not much. All I did was put wet bottles in my pockets and get myself wet. But to a child, I promise you, my wife can attest, they believe, truly, if I do the, that was in my ear? It was. It's incredible. They will believe it and they will eat it up because children just believe that. We went over to a friend's house and they have an 8-year-old son and we went over for dinner and as we pulled in, he was outside in the driveway shooting hoops. And so I actually was following my wife in with the baby. I set my baby down in her car seat in the driveway. Shouldn't have done that, but still, because you know, there's a ball. Ball is life, right, Josh? You just got a hoop. So I grabbed the basketball, and I made, on an 8-foot rim, 3 straight shots from about 6 feet away. I mean, not too impressive. To this 8-year-old, I promise you, if my wife was in here, she could tell you, I promise you, he said, wow, are you an NBA player? And I thought, maybe I could be. I don't know. I still got it. I grew up in Indiana, you know. We play basketball, but I didn't really know that I needed that self-esteem boost that day, but felt pretty good. And, you know, he was amazed at my level of athleticism to make 3 straight shots. And but as a child, you're wowed at what an adult can do. And I remember being a child and trying to pour a gallon of milk into my cereal, and I thought I had it. And I did not have it. And as all mothers can attest, it's the scariest thing. Again, I have nieces. My daughter's not at the age to do that yet. But my nieces, I got it. You know, and they get it. And it is just hold your breath to see if they can do that. But when dad comes in, I mean, dads are able, grab a gallon of milk. They can spin off the cap with one hand, pour it, put it down. I mean, dads just know how to do it. Right, dads? Moms, they do. Dads know what they're doing. They may make a mess occasionally, but it looks really cool when they spin off that lid with one hand. But to kids, dads are all powerful. Dads, they can pick anything up. They're so strong. They're able to do whatever. And we talked last week. We picked up on this story of Elisha and the 3 kings going to attack Moab and what happened when they dug ditches. And if you weren't here, ask someone. They can probably give you notes on it. But God provided water when they were stuck. I can't help but rehash. I'll give just 2 seconds. They're stuck. They're going to battle. They're in a valley. They're dying of thirst. They have no other alternative, no other option, and God tells them to dig a ditch. Make this valley full of ditches. After they did that, God steps in and performs a miracle and filled the valley full of water. He didn't need rain. He didn't need wind. He just needed himself. So he was able to perform this miracle. And that alone was a tremendous miracle that God performed. How many thousands of soldiers, of it, not just soldiers, both ye, your cattle, and your beasts, all of them were dying of thirst. They could not go another step. And God stepped in and performed this miracle. And I don't want to get too much into it, but as with God, when he steps into a situation like he did for the Israelites, he never steps in halfway. He doesn't step in and say, I'll take care of this part, but this part you're going to have to handle on your own. And God isn't interested in just doing partial miracles. God has never performed half of a miracle. That if he's performed all of a miracle, if he's done, that means your situation is done. If there's no more God in it, that means he's finished and he's taken care of it. It may not look like it in your mind, because the Israelites in this situation, yeah, they got water. We're dying of thirst. Yeah, great. But we still have a battle that we're getting ready to face. And so it would be very easy for the Israelites to just assume, well, yeah, we gave us water. What about the enemy? What are we going to do now, God? How are we going to get ourselves out of this situation? And you know, God could have said, I got you water. Now you figure out the battle. You figure out how you're going to get through this. But God has not saved us. God has not provided for us. He's not kept us so he could turn you over to the hands of the enemy tomorrow. He's not kept you for all 40 years of your life, all 50 years of your life, to wait for the last 30 years of your life and say, well, you got this now. Brother Span, He's been with you your entire way. He's not just about to stop now. You've been living for the Lord for most of your life. He's not just giving up on brother and sister Span. He still has a plan for them. He's got a plan for our young ones. He's got a plan for Abby. God, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. God is still working in our life, and he's not leaving us. He's not going to abandon us. He's done too much for us. He's never going to leave us. The book of Matthew opens and closes with a promise that God is not going to leave us. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's God with us. He's just with us. He's here. Not God with us temporarily. He's with us. The very last scripture of Matthew, written right after the Great Commission of Jesus, he hands us to the disciples as well to us. He says, Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It started God with us, and then he tells us as Jesus, I am with you to the end of the world. Amen. God is with you in the valley. He will provide your thirst. He will take care of you. Whatever, I hope none of us are dying of thirst today. If you are, good news. Not only are they magic tricks, they also help sustain you. But God is not just going to stop there. God is going to bring you all the way through. God is going to do that. The issue is that we've managed to get out of one thing, and now we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of another thing. Life happens like that. It's not just I take care of this one thing and now I'm good for the next 10 years. Smooth sailing here on out. And then when I hit that decade milestone, I'll undergo something, but they're not smooth sailing. No, often with life, it stacks up. It's this, then it's this, then it's this, then it's this, and I'll use everything on this pulpit as an analogy, but that's how life works. It just kind of all lines up, but God has a way out. 2 Kings 3, the text we read, it says, they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, the very water that God provided. It shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. They said, this is blood. The kings are slain. They've smitten one another. Now let's go spoil them. They knew. They could tell. They knew that it was blood. They look across, and there's no other explanation. How else? They're in a puddle where there's no water. There's not a river that runs through this valley. It doesn't rain in this season. It is a dry land. How else What other explanation could there be than other than they just killed each other? That must be blood. They were satisfied, or they were sure of themselves that they knew. So the king of the Moabites, he goes with reckless abandon to spoil the Israelites, only to be surprised that Israel was alive and well and waiting for them. That very water, the very miracle, God told them to make this valley full of ditches. If he would have told them, make this valley full, and they would have said, well, we'll dig one ditch. We'll dig one moderate-sized ditch, and that'll be enough. Valley full of ditches, too much work. We'll do one medium-sized ditch. When the king of Moab would have got up that next morning and looked out, he wouldn't have seen water or blood across the land. He would have seen just maybe a small blip and would have overlooked it and been ready for battle. So what God tells you to dig a valley full of ditches, and it doesn't make any sense, and you don't know the purpose, and you don't know why, just trust that he knows more than what you do. Trust that he's got it all figured out. Trust that he has a plan that's way beyond you, and he's able to provide. When we dig that dig the ditch, we are obedient, and God steps in and he says, I'll take it from here. The very water that supplied them destroyed the enemy. The very miracle that sustained them was the miracle that delivered them. They thought it was a mistake that it took 7 days to get there. They were upset that it took 7 days. But in that valley, God steps in and he says, I got it from here. And the scripture says in verse 18, this is but a light thing. We think, man, stuff is hard. God must really struggle with some of this stuff. God says in verse 18, it is a light thing. This isn't really anything for me. It's a light thing for God to step into your situation and not only sustain you when you're dying, but when you've gotten that strength back, deliver you from the storm, deliver you from the enemy, provide that knockout punch. I know sometimes life is very difficult. I know life gets very hard. I know there's stuff on every single side and you are facing battles. You are facing attacks. I know that sometimes it hits you from the front to the back to the left to the right. I understand that. I was talking to a lady from my former church that she was one of the kids in our youth group's mothers. And what she's going through, her husband has left the church. He's now not living at home. He's dealing with his own things. His children or her children are suicidal. They've been twice in a psychiatric hospital as a 13-year-old because they have suicidal thoughts. She just had DCFS come to her house this past week. She's telling me this last night, and I'm talking to her, and I can't even imagine what she's going through. I can't imagine literally every side she's being attacked. Her home, her job, her kids, her husband, everywhere is being attacked. But I knew I could tell her, God is with you. God is not afraid of those attacks. It is a light thing. It is easy for God to step into your situation. And I hope nobody is facing what she's facing. But if you're facing even worse than that, God is with you. God is not challenged by those attacks. God is not afraid of those attacks. It is a light thing. It is a light thing with God. It's light. It's basic. It's easy. It's simple for God. Scholars have actually studied where that valley was, and they determined where the kingdom of Israel was and where the kingdom of Moab was and where they probably their circuitous route led them and through the wilderness of Edom for 7 days and where they were dying of thirst. And actually, the Moabites should have turned and they should have looked to the south. That's where they should have been facing. That's where the battle should have taken place. Due to the redirection, due to the way that God led them through the wilderness, they actually were on the east. So they had to turn and face to the east. Because of that, when they woke up, the sun would have been shining and would have been showing on that water, and it would have been red and it would have been as blood. Due to their circuitous route through the wilderness, due to taking the wrong turn, they thought. Due to going out of their way, they thought. God brought them to the exact place He needed them to be to perform the miracle that brought salvation. Whatever circuitous, why am I stuck on that word? Due to your difficult route, let's just go with that word. Due to the route that has led you to a place you didn't expect to be. It's led to a place where your family wasn't where you thought it should be. But due to that, God says, now I have you exactly where I want you. The things I've been doing before now are all coming to a head, and I provided victory for you. I provided a way out for you, and I have an answer to the enemy for you. God knows what He's doing. God knows what he's doing. God knows. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's been doing it for a lot longer than we've been alive. He's going to be doing it a lot longer after us. God is not afraid. He's not overwhelmed. He knows exactly what He's doing in your life. It's so simple. I get it. But somebody needs to hear that God knows what He's doing. I know that's not profound. I understand you're not going to just be shocked by that statement, but just be reminded that God knows exactly what He's doing. He used water to look like blood to provide salvation from the enemy of God's people. Just as He knew He was going to shed His blood at Calvary, pure like water, to provide salvation for us. He knows exactly what He's doing. God is in control. I serve a God where stuff is very easy for Him. It's light work. We serve a God that's capable. I liken Him to a one-verse miracle type of God. He's able in a one verse to perform a miracle. Just He doesn't need full chapters in the Bible. He doesn't need pomp and circumstance. He doesn't need attention. He can do a miracle in one verse. And I'm going to read one verse. I won't even read the other verses before it. But it's a story. Maybe I'll read it so you have context. No, I won't. It's just the story of Peter and them coming to Peter and Jesus saying, you need to pay tribute. You need to pay tribute. And Peter coming to Jesus and saying, we have to pay tribute. What are we going to do? And so Jesus responds, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. What? Jesus, we need money. We got to give it to this guy. We got to pay tribute. Okay, Peter, if you really think that we need to pay the guy, why don't you just go out to the sea, throw out a hook. The first fish you catch, pull out the coin. There's going to be a coin in his mouth. That's going to cover our tribute. Take care of it. What? Why? Why? That doesn't make any sense. You know, if I was Peter, I'd be mumbling to myself. I have to go fishing now? You told me to be a fisher of men. I have to go fishing? God could have just said, oh, here's one in my pocket. I mean, if He can just put one in a fish's mouth, He could just say, here's one in my hand. I mean, He fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and a couple of loaves. Peter going and doing that process didn't actually do anything. But by Peter's obedience, by Peter saying, God, I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense. Peter was able to see that his God was able to even put a coin in a fish's mouth. God is able, whatever small, insignificant thing you need, whatever grandiose thing you need, God is going to provide. He's going to take care. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. God is able. God is able. God is able. You know, sister, God's able. God's able. Amen. Whatever you need Him to do, it would probably be the most inconvenient way to get a coin to pay tribute. Could you think of a more inconvenient way? There's no reason, there's no way a fish would have a coin in his mouth. But God said to me, that's a light thing. I'm showing off at this point. I want God to show off in my life. I want God to just roll up his sleeves and say, Titus, won't you back up a bit? Won't you let me work? Won't you let me do something that's going to blow your mind, that's going to surprise you? There's no reason for God to do it that way. The only reason is God can. There's no reason for God to work in our lives, but God can. There's no reason for us to go through a wilderness, but God's got a promise on the other side of that wilderness that is easy for him to do and easy for him to take care of. He doesn't need all the factors to be perfectly aligned. He's not waiting upon anybody else. He's not waiting for, if they would just do this, or I got to wait, perfect timing, I got to do this. God doesn't need to wait. He's not held by time. He's not bound by that. God's able to do exactly what he wants to do when he wants to do it, because it's a light thing for God. There's not really heavy lifting for God. To us, it seems like nothing but heavy lifting. I mean, trying to pay your bills, trying to see your family saved, trying to see your kids saved, trying to take care of work situations, trying to come to church, trying to go, it's heavy lifting. I'll be honest, I told my wife this morning, this is because of the youth thing last night that was, we were there till after midnight, it was stupid, and I'm not a youth anymore. I don't know why I'm doing that. But I told my wife this morning, I said, we're going to get to bed tonight. That was the promise I held on to this morning. I knew we had church today. I was excited about church. Hear me. But I had to speak twice today. It's just everything. My wife had to do music. And I know it looks like we got it all together. But, I mean, we're still human. But we knew at the end of the day, God still had us. We knew that at the end of the day, everything was going to be okay. And that's how it is sometimes. You're going to have to go through it. There's going to be indecision and unknown. But that at the end of the day, we got God. God's in control. And it's heavy lifting to us. Sometimes just in the morning, it's heavy lifting to get out of bed on a Sunday morning. But God says to me, it's a light thing. And so I have asked just to kind of hit this home. I'm going to ask Sister Sadie to come help me. Everyone's wondering. This isn't a magic trick, by the way. I'm not going to make her disappear in the box, I know. But I have in here a 24-pack of water. So a lot of times with life, it seems light. We can do this one thing. You know, this is just a job thing. I can take care of this. And then another thing kind of happens, and we can really take care of two things. This is light. This is easy. And I didn't ask Sadie up here because she was weak. That's not what I'm saying. I wanted her to represent all of us. So she is just here up here. And then something else happens. And then, this was a car issue, which you don't know about, and a roof issue, which hopefully you don't know about. But those two things hit. And so then sickness starts to hit. And at first, these are all, I can do that. It's light. This is nothing. And so we start to say, well, God, I can take care of this thing. This is not really that big a deal. I got this. And then we start to just add it to the other little things. And we go about our day, and it's not that big of a deal, God. I got this on my own. I can take care of this. And it's really, really not a big concern. And before we know it, here we are. We're walking, and it's only, this is light, right? Light. No big deal, but yet we've carried all of these extra things that we should have given to God. We should have let God take it. And before long, let's just drop them all in here. Before long, we have 24 things. Okay, Sadie. That we're just picking up. And walk with me, Sadie. If at any point, we won't go long. But we navigate stairs. And we're just walking through life. And it's not heavy things. And really, they're light things. But we start to carry these things. And we're carrying all these things that we never were meant to carry. And eventually, it's starting to get heavy. Not for you, you're strong. But you can set it down. I'm sorry. I don't want to abuse you. But before too long, you're carrying these things. And we only made it a few steps. I was going to take her up the stairs into the youth room, down in the basement. We're going on a journey. We're going to test the capability of this microphone. But before too long, she's worn out. And then she asks, she instead of asking God, won't you grab both sides? You grab one side. And then now we can walk. Now it's a little easier. And now I got my sister in the Lord. I got her with me. We're carrying it. And she's got my back. And so, you know, you got your sister. But really, your sister's not designed to carry all the heavy things that you have in your life. Because if we were doing this, you good? Not much further. If we were really doing this, she would have her own 24-pack that she's added into this. And then we'll get another sister. We'll get another sister. But it's not like we're easing a burden when we add people in. It's good to have your sisters and brothers in the Lord. You sit it down, girls. Thank you. You guys can sit down. Let's give it up for our helpers. And you can bring sister and sister and brother, and you should at times be able to help, be able to lift that, be able to encourage each other. But at the end of the day, we were not designed to carry these burdens. God didn't make us to be able to carry these burdens. We have a God, and I've asked a God like man to come help us. It's supposed to be that instead of struggling, can barely get by, God comes in, and God easily, no problem, not difficult, not heavy, where Sadie is getting tired, God is able to just keep going. Where we are weak, God says, I got this. These small little things in your life, give them to me. God could take every single one of our small things and it would be a light thing to him. It wouldn't be anything for him. He wouldn't even break a sweat. He wouldn't call for help. He wouldn't say, if only I could have an angel help me right now. No, it's nothing to God. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. It's light work to God. This is not, Mason could do this for 2 hours. This is nothing. Maybe three. But this is nothing. Your huge problems that you have, your huge life issues that all you can see are your problems or your situations are nothing to God. They are light to God. They are basic to God. God was designed to pick them up off your back. You were designed to give them over to him. You can put that down. God... God has never once said, uh-oh, I need help. He's never once said, this is way too heavy for me. He's never once had to,
let me get a good grip. I was losing my grip. It slipped out of my hand.
God doesn't have to readjust his grip. God's fingers don't get tired. It's easy for him. We have a God that's all powerful. We have a God that's omnipotent. We have a God that knows everything. We have a God that created everything. God is able. He's strong enough. He's big enough. Whatever you need him to be, he'll step into your situation. He'll provide a way out. If he can provide water in the wilderness and turn that water into blood and take down the enemy, what can he do in your life? You think your bills are too big for God? You think your husband's too big for God? You think your kids are too far gone for God? No, it's a light thing. It's a light thing for God. God's able. 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 It's a light thing for God. Isaiah 40:28 says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching for his understanding. He give power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increased their strength." Genesis 18:11. It tells a story of Abraham and Sarah. They were old. They were well stricken with age. They couldn't have a baby, but it was just impossible. They were beyond that. But the Lord said unto Abraham, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? But he says to him, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. He's telling them beyond the human capabilities, there's a season of life that you get to that you are beyond having a baby. And in their mind, they were beyond that. In their mind, it was a hard thing. It was impossible for God to do. Our bodies don't allow that. That's not how we were designed to do. But God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I don't care what science says. I don't care what the doctor says. Is anything too hard for God? You can't get an answer to your prayer. Nothing is too hard for God. If he can make someone that's beyond the age become pregnant, if he can make Mary, a virgin, pregnant, what can he do in your body? What healing can he perform in your body? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. He created everything. He created it. He designed it. He built it. He is the mastermind behind it, of a universe, of time, of everything. So you can't sit back and say, God doesn't know about the car bill I have coming up next week. You think he can control the tides and control the sea and the winds and the waves, but he can't handle pneumonia? He can't handle cancer? He can't handle diabetes? You think that's beyond him? Where that's where he draws the line and says, whoa, man. Creating a billion different insects that fly around and sting and bite and are annoying. That I can do. This sickness you got, whew, this is a doozy. This is going to be tough. Let me crack my fingers. How should I handle this? No. It's a light thing. There's nothing too hard. Nothing you're facing is too heavy. If he can deliver whole armies, if he can provide water in a dry valley, God can step in your situation. So today, as we move to a close, I urge you to bring your concerns to God today. I pray as we close out the next few moments, and I know we've already had a great service, and I know God already moved in prayer, but I believe God still wants to do a few more things. I believe that there's still some heavy burdens, some heavy, real things. That's all right. We're good. But there's some heavy, real things, almost like an iPad sometimes can be heavy. But real, real life things. And again, I'm not trying to belittle diabetes. I'm not trying to make cancer seem insignificant. That's not my attempt. I believe to us it is a real heavy thing. I'm trying to open our eyes that although it is heavy and huge to us, to God, it's nothing. It's a word that he speaks and it's taken care of. It's a moving of his hand. It's a breath and it's done. He doesn't even have to raise his pinky finger to move in your life. It is nothing for our God. So why would we leave this place saying, well, I drug this into church. It's heavy. It's awkward. I need a help. Why would we choose to walk out this door, go down the stairs, and drag this into our car and go home with this? This is a burden that God does not care and God does not desire for you to carry with you. God wants you to let this go at the altar. Whatever big thing, whatever small thing, leave it at the altar today. this altar, in the spiritual sense, I'm not saying bring, unless you have something you want to bring and lay it on the altar, you're open. But this altar, before we leave today, should be littered with water bottles, littered with the little things in life that we've carried. The little burdens, the little hurts, the little pains, God wants you to bring them up and cast them down at the altar. Say, God, I can't carry it any longer. God, it's killing me. My back's killing me. My body's killing me. So I give it to you and I trust you. And God will say, okay, finally, I got you. I got this. See, I got this. If we could stand as we close. What do you bring into the table? What do you bring into God's altar? I felt over the last couple of services just to highlight the awesome power of our Savior. Words couldn't put it into the right perspective of how great and how big God is. I just want to encourage someone with a heavy burden that God does not desire for you to be bound with such a burden. Matthew 11, 28 and verse 30. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, that all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's standing here, arms wide open, saying, come unto me. You are my child. I designed you. I created you. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will take your burden from you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That burden is light. It's a light thing. I believe that there are some people here that are heavy laden. And maybe you've carried it for so long you don't even realize. You think, I always walked like this. You know, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm dragging something? This is how I've always walked. But you've walked this way for so long, you've forgotten what it's like to be able to spread your arms. You've forgotten what it's like to be able to lift your hand. You've forgotten what it's like to be able to leap for joy and to worship Him. The scripture says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's a garment of praise that God wants to place upon you for that spirit of heaviness that you've been carrying. So if you're struggling with something, if you got burdens, if you got issues, good. You're welcome here. We all got them. You're not alone. You're not carrying that by yourself. We all got stuff that we want God to take over. So I'm going to open up the altar and I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to come and to bring whatever thing you've been holding on to, whatever thing, and maybe someone has something that they're not rejoicing and showing off this thing, but maybe it's a hidden thing that really, this is a you and God thing, and this is private, and I respect that, and I'm not asking anybody to make a declaration of what they're laying at the altar, but just know that God wants to remove the secret things. He wants to remove the open things. He wants it all. You're not going to overwhelm God today. It's impossible. It's impossible. You could try as you will, but God would keep coming back to you and saying, it's a light thing. He makes light work. So as we close, I'm inviting you to come. This is my plea. Come in this place and ask that God, you would move. I'm going to pray, but just wherever you're at, find a place. God, we need you right now. God, there are some burdens. God, there are some things that we've been carrying for far, far too long. God, we're bringing them today upon the altar. We're leaving them here. We're asking for you to step in, for you to carry off some things, for you to lift a burden. God, lift a burden off some shoulders. God, there are some laborers that are heavy laden right now. I pray that they would find rest in this altar. God, let there be rest. Let there be peace. God, let your peace settle upon somebody right now. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Lay some of these things down right now. God, I lay these burdens down at an altar. God, I'm giving them to you. God, I'm trusting you with them. I'm trusting you with these burdens. Oh, God. God, I can't carry it any longer. God, you've got to You've got to come in. You've got to pick them up. God, I'm not built for this. You weren't designed to carry them. You're not able. You're not strong enough. But I know one that is able. God, He created everything. He's able to carry. He's able to pick up. He's able to walk with you. Oh, God, walk right now. God, visit us right now. God, Lord, you've been in this service all this time. All day you've been here. Now I pray you'd show yourself. God, let your manifest presence. Let your manifest anointing. God, be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, that's it. That's it. Come on, lay it all down. Lay it all down right now. Lay it all down right now. There's no reason you should pick it up. Oh, you shouldn't carry it. Your family can't carry it. Your spouse can't carry it. We've got to give it to God and let it be a light thing in His hands. That's it. That's it. Come on. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. But He sees you right now. He sees where you're at. He knows you're in a valley. He knows you're in the wilderness. But I promise He's got a way out. He's got a miracle that you can't see yet, but He sees. He knows His way out. He knows what He's doing. He knows how He'll provide. God is able. Somebody say that. God is able. God is able. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being sensitive to the word, sensitive to the service today. I feel like God is doing something in our church, and he's encouraging each and every one of us. Know that God is with us. Amen. As we are dismissed, please take a moment. Go meet Sister Helen and Sister Cassandra. They're in. They stayed at a timeshare, and they're in from Columbus, Mississippi. So Sister Helen has an accent. I'm sure Sister Cassandra does too. So again, no accent there. No accent, but make sure you say hi. Also, so good to have Sister Shara. Sister Volan with us today. You guys all know her clearly much better than I do. Hug her neck, shake her hand, hug someone else's neck, tell them you love them with the love of the Lord. And we have prayer tonight at 6. We look forward to seeing you there. God bless.